It's I forgot that it was a short class. I'm just listening to the intercom, and Maravana Prabhu's giving a class there. Sankirtan devotees go out early today. So we want to talk about sadhachara, Vaishnava etiquette, and I'll speak a little louder. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that we use this word sadhachar. Achar means behavior, and sadhachar, like sat, it means truth, it means reality, it means spiritual. So spiritual conduct, sadhachar. And so the Lord said, this is the ornament of a Vaishnava, in the absence of which a devotee is like a person without any clothes on. And it's the real ideal example of sadhachar is, number one, Srila Prabhupada, in terms of living conduct of a Vaishnava. And the other is what we find, for instance, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And there's a lot in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We see how Vaishnavas interact amongst each other, how they speak to each other, how they have relationships amongst each other, what are their means of loving exchange, tadati, patigrinati, guyamakirti, pritchati, sadvidi, priti lakshana. So priti means love. Priti lakshana means the qualities of love. So real sadhachar is really based on, or is the principle of how you cultivate the behavior that actually exhibits love. And of course, our definition of love is a little different than materialistic definition of love. For instance, in terms of Radha, Srimati Radharani, and Krishna's exchanges, loving exchanges, although they're the sort of the pinnacle of interaction of love, they're extremely restrained. In other words, not, of course, in public, because they're forbidden, so there's no exchange or no show of that. But even, for instance, when Krishna is amongst the gopis, Srimati Radharani is there, they don't touch, she doesn't even smile at him, what to speak of, even look at him. And it becomes, in other words, it's an indirect way of expressing love, which I'm just bringing up because in the world that we live in, the more direct that expressions are, the more they're sort of valued or considered to be real. Whereas in Vedic culture, it's only really when after Krishna's gone through a whole lot of adventures to finally win Srimati Radharani's attention, and when they're alone, that's the only time when the exchange is really direct. Other than that, it's always a place hard to get, very hard to get. And Krishna likes that. So I'm just bringing that up because it's different. Our Vaishnava culture is different. And of course, that's the sadhachar on the perfected stage, and the sadhachar or the conduct of sadhakas. So there are two different levels of conduct according to the two different levels of devotees. And of course both of them are in perfection, but even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they're eternally in the role of being devotees or practitioners. Although they're perfect, they're always like us. So that means they're like sadhakas. They play the role of sadhakas. And they play the role of sadhakas of trying to achieve perfection and enter into Krishna's pastimes, which then take place in Vrindavan. And that we use the word siddha, but actually both are siddha. And then we're trying to follow the perfect sadhakas. We're trying to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami. These are eternal forms. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he writes that all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, those are their eternal forms. In that sense, we could also take that Srila Prabhupada has that eternal form as a sadhaka in the form that we know him. And then what Prabhupada's form is in his relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's with Krishna, that's something for devotees to find out through their own practice of Krishna consciousness. This one we know, and this one is as real and as eternal as that one. Because Jiva Goswami points out that for the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then there are three different variations or alternatives of perfection. One is someone may be just an eternal associate of Krishna. Another is that someone may be just an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the third is one is both. Is that one is both in Svetadvip, which is that portion of Goloka Vrindavan where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, and that one is in Braj. And then there's Mathura and Dwarka, but those are sort of not the spheres that Gaudiya Vaishnavas search after. And Srila Chaitanya, when he says that this sadachar is like the ornament of a Vaishnava, in the absence of which is like a naked person, it means that how we express bhakti is very important. And very often, this argument, well, it's what's inside that counts, what's outside doesn't count. But outside very much counts. It counts both for the individual and both for others. For instance, policemen are dressed in uniforms. Why? Because immediately everyone else knows what they represent and how they're meant to interact with them. And it also keeps the policeman in line, because if he's not dressed in uniform, then he may be able to behave in certain ways that aren't actually allowed for policemen. And it also, for him, reinforces his identity. And this is called Bhav Sambandha. Bhavamayi, bhav means like your mood, and bhavamayi means what's actually really within. And bhav sambandha means those things which are favorable. So what is favorable for actually cultivating our inner awareness of Krishna, our actual Krishna consciousness. And when we're conditioned souls, how we dress, how we conduct ourselves, how we speak, these things very much have an effect on us as well. And therefore we want to emulate the conduct of perfected sadhakas, because we know that by that will also help. Otherwise our conduct may be counterproductive for actually the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. So it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter what you say, what you think. The real important thing is what's inside. It doesn't matter whether Shukadeva Goswami is wearing clothes, because he's already perfect. But it does matter if we're not wearing clothes. It would certainly make a difference in our Krishna consciousness. So Maharaj Rishabhdev can also, he can lay in his stool, because he's so absorbed in ecstasy that he doesn't move. So, but we can't do that, because it's definitely going to affect our Krishna consciousness. So we can't imitate, we need to follow. And so we see, for instance, Srila Prabhupada was very particular that we learn Vaishnav culture. And so this has, you know, if you look at Archana Padati, then the first thing that Archana Padati talks about is not deity worship. It talks about how a devotee is supposed to get up in the morning, how he washes his teeth, how he does achman, how to take bath, where to take bath, how you dress, how to put on tilak. In other words, deity worship is preceded by sadachar, or actually how we, for instance, take care of ourselves is an integral part of worshiping Krishna. It's an integral part of archana, because it's going to reflect on how we approach the Lord. I'm just going to stop here and instead let you ask some questions, because otherwise I'm just going to go on. And there's a lot of aspects to all of this. More or less, Hari Bhakti Vilas, a large portion is about Sadachar. Bhakti Chumaj once gave very extensive seminars in the UK on Sadachar. And it's an important thing to do. And then Lord Chaitanya says, the problem with not knowing what proper conduct of a Vaishnava is that one runs the risk of making offenses. They'll make offenses to the deities, they'll make offenses to Vaishnavas, make offenses to the holy name. And then that becomes really counterproductive. I'll just give an example, which always, especially for instance, at the manor, and you see that when the manor is packed, then what can you do? That's one thing. But often, for instance, you'll see guests come in, they'll sit down in the center of the room, looking towards the deities and offer prayers with their backs to Srila Prabhupada. So if you Google backs to Krishna or back to Guru, you see Prabhupada would get extreme. I just listening to Prabhupada was in Calcutta, and he was giving a class, and someone must have come in and sat with their backs to the deities looking at him. And Prabhupada stopped the class. And he says, you're sitting with your back to the deities. He said, sit. And Prabhupada was agitated. So those are things that we need to know. When we're Vaishnavas, it's just like when you're adult, then whether you know it or not, you can't behave like a child anymore. There are certain responsibilities that come along with being an adult that we have to practice and we have to know. So same thing with Vaishnavas. There are things that we know along with chanting Hare Krishna, putting on a dhoti, and putting on tilak. Then there comes a responsibility of being like that, like the responsibility of conducting yourself as a policeman. And if we don't, then yes, then it's an offense to sit with your back to Srila Prabhupada or to do other things like that. We need to do the right things. Okay, but over to you. Why don't you put up some questions?
We're also wondering, because this is obviously a very big topic.
Big topic.
The do's and don'ts are enormous. And obviously there's offense made either way. But there's, you know, there's more serious offenses, and they are with offenses to other devotees. But I thought before we get to that, because that's quite a heavy topic, I'm sure it will come up, but maybe about the qualities of devotees who are trying to move along the path. We know many of them. Often we hear about humility, compassion, whether they're 26, specifically,
and there are many there, and some questions
specifically. But if you want to speak a little bit about that, and then maybe I can open the discussion
as well. Well, Krishna says, Samadamastapasocham. And he's talking about the qualities of Brahman. Actually, these are brahminical qualities. This type of sadachar is how to cultivate brahminical life, because Srila Prabhupada was very, very concerned and insistent that we re-establish brahminical behavior, because you can't even say that the behavior of or the conduct of people in the world is like that of Shudras. I think even Shudras conduct themselves better. It's more becoming degraded to like demoniac, so that people walk around in the streets drunk or drinking. What to speak of drinking? They sit out on the street and drink. That's, you know, they're popular. Especially in Europe, they sit out on the sidewalk and everyone's drinking. This is not even what the Shudras do. Even with the Jamil, they did it off in the forest. They didn't do it in the public sphere. So yeah, cleanliness is one thing. What does it mean to be cleanly? Prabhupada said we'll be famous for bathing three times a day, and that's even when I was president in Winnipeg, which was a real far-flung part of the world, and Prabhupada sent me giving initiation to devotees, Brahman initiation, Gayatri Mantra. Then he said you should tell them that they have to bathe three times a day. And when I first got involved in Krishna consciousness, I hadn't moved in the temple yet, and I got wind of this, and I was bathing three times a day. I wasn't living at home, but when my mother heard, she got really worried, and once when I came over, she had one of her doctor friends over, and she isn't going to get sick from bathing three times a day. And good thing the doctor said, no, it's all right, he'll be all right. So it's like a foreign thing. It was a little different with my father-in-law. When I once went to my father-in-law, I forgot to tell him, we went over for lunch, and we forgot to tell him that we'd become vegetarians. Because it was embarrassing, because they already prepared lunch, and we just told them that sort of all we're going to eat is the rice. They picked up the telephone. I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm from the psychiatrist. He says, why? He says, well, you become a vegetarian, there must be something wrong with you. So that was, of course, nowadays they think a little different, but that was like 50 years ago. So cleanliness. Cleanliness in terms of our clothes, washing, always wearing fresh clothes. Once the Krishna Maharaj, I always wear the same dhoti and dabbad kurta I change after lunch. Tamal Krishna Maharaj got on my case. He says, why aren't you changing your dhoti? Why are you only changing your kurta? You should be wearing two fresh sets of clothes a day. I said, where does it say that? So, yes, devotees, you'll see, even poor people in India on the streets, or is that the class? There's this little buttons over here, just on the wall. Yeah. You have to turn those little buttons and turn in the right direction, and it'll turn off. Even the poorest people in India, even if they only have one set of clothes, they'll wash them daily. Once, maybe twice. cleanliness in terms of just our habits. Get up, you brush your teeth, evacuate. These things are also there in both Hari Bhakti Vilas and Archana Padati. Prabhupada, of course, was always referring to tilak. The Vaishnavas always have tilak. He was talking to Swarup Damodar Maharaj, and he was telling him that you can wear karmic clothes when you're preaching to the scientists, but you have to have tilak. He says, tilak is our flag. Lord Chaitanya said that you don't have tilak on your forehead. It's like a cremation ground. So it was very... Prabhupada was very particular, and he wanted, this is part of our cleanliness. Cleanliness in terms of habits. We don't have it anymore, but when I joined, we had a bowl outside the temple room, which was full of water, and there was a towel beside it, so when you went into the temple room, you had to wash your feet. couldn't go into the temple without washing your feet. In proper temples, and of course in mosques, you can't go in without having bathed. Muslims are very strict. You have to. When I visited the Regent Park Mosque, they took me around and they showed me that the men, when they come in, they have to, I assume it was the ladies as well, but they have to shower, they have to clean, and preferably they're supposed to put on clean clothes before even coming into the mosque. So that type of cleanliness in terms of daily conduct, eating, you wash your hands and mouth before, and feet before taking prasadam, and then washing hands and feet after prasadam, especially washing feet, it's like very rare nowadays. But I think there's always, you know, you're always standing in queue because someone had their foot in the sink and they were washing their feet after prasadam. Of course, just sprinkling a few drops, that's also good. But this is, it's something that especially Brahmanas and Gaudiya Vaishnavas in India notice, and they really sort of used to pull Srila Prabhupada up on that your Western Vaishnavas don't know how to actually behave like Vaishnavas. And that was actually the one part where Prabhupada had referred his disciples to his godbrothers, but then ultimately he decided that the risk was sort of too high, that they were going to learn a lot more than just sort of sadachar. They're going to get distracted or taken away. So then he sort of said, better that we learn on our own. But Prabhupada wanted us to learn. He wanted us how to take prasadam. When I was in Vrindavan, I was at Govinda Maharaj's mother just passed away. So he arranged to feed the sadhus. And he arranged with, well, our neighbor there is Balaram Baba, and he feeds hundreds of sadhus on a daily basis. So Govinda Maharaj said, how many sadhus are there in Vrindavan, recognized sadhus? Balaram Baba said, about 2,000. He said, so I want to invite them and feed them all. So went to this huge ashram, 2,000 sadhus to sit down. So you can just imagine, he arranged a feast, and it must have been about 10 preparations. They'd been cooking already for 2 days before. Cost the Maharaj a fortune. But everyone sat down, and they started serving prasadam, which you can imagine, it took about a half an hour. No one would touch prasadam until everyone served. Now our habit is, as soon as something's on your plate, you start to eat. But actually, Vaishnava habit, and I'm sure that at home, also for a better family, you don't eat until everyone's served. And then when all the members of the family are served and everything, then you start to eat. So there were kids, there were little children, there were like five-year-old children, I guess they came with parents. And they sat there and they all waited until everybody was served. And then finally when they said sadhu sabdam, then everyone started to eat together. And that's what honoring prasadam is about. And then when they're eating prasadam, of course they don't speak. They don't talk. They just take prasadam, and then no one gets up until the person, well, usually it's the main person who's in charge of serving. When they finished, then they get up. And then he invited the mahants of all the, and they came over to our house. There were about 100 of them. And they do the same thing in Gaudiya Math. Everyone sits in seniority. They all sit according to seniority, and then they all get served. And of course, they all wait. It doesn't matter how senior they are. They all wait from the most senior to the junior get served. It was interesting. I never knew, but there's an ashram for blind sadhus, and of course, the leader of the ashram, he was also blind. So he was there, everyone was very nice, and they sat him down, and he didn't look like he was blind when he was eating. It looked like he really knew where everything was on the plate. And but then when everyone was served, and then at a certain point, where you could see that the senior most had finished, then they gave the permission to stand, and it's only then that they got up. So these are things, and these are things that Prabhupada wanted us to know, the things that in India people really look at. Do ISKCON devotees really know these things? Well, that was about a little about cleanliness and prasadam. Something else?